This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. This episode is an excerpt from my public access TV show, Talk with TQ. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. I'm always so pleased when you come, and I'm pleased because I have a fantastic guest tonight. As you know, I try to get the best people, the most interesting people, I'll say it that way, that I can find on the planet. Her name is Christine Knowlton. She wears a few hats, and somehow she finds a way to make it cohesive so she still remains herself. Currently, she's exhibiting at the Croton Library in Croton, New York, and she actually is a Peekskill artist in Peekskill, New York, and I'm anxious to talk to her about her many endeavors tonight. So welcome to the show.
Thank
you're
you.
Here. You made it.
Thank you, Toni. And you're a neighbor now.
Yes, we are. We're neighbors now.
I know. Right downtown Peekskill.
I know. We can skedaddle right across town.
It's exciting. Yeah, it is. Walk around. There's so much.
That's the beautiful thing about Peekskill and being an artist in Peekskill. When you live here and you're in a live work space, you know, most of us have cars. We don't use them, you know, so the environment loves us. Mm-hmm. Yes. So tell me something. What made you decide to put all of the art that you have currently in Croton? How did you decide to curate? Who curated this?
So I reached out in 2019. I just was drawn to make art again. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't done any fine art since art school in the 70s. And I was a designer, filmmaker. I was very industry focused, media. And I just was driven to then start making art. And so as I started getting very productive, I started reaching out to people, and I reached out to Mary McFadden. And I started going and being in group shows very quickly. And then I realized I want to think ahead, because it was a year, 2 years out to get a solo show. So I just went for it. So I just, you know, emailed Mary, and it was actually the show that's up now was supposed to be next year. And she, in January, suddenly said, I have a cancellation. Would you like to do it this March, April? And I took a second pause and thought, I have everything ready except for two pieces that I still had to complete and then get it ready to mount, to hang. But the work was produced because I was just cranking over the last 2 years, and I was just very driven. And so I'm very proud of it. It's my first solo show, and it's very exciting.
There'll be others, I have a feeling.
Well, there's actually one scheduled for the fall.
There you go. Ta-da!
So I kind of did these, like, you know. Yeah, so that's going to be a WCC, and it'll be slightly different. I'm not just going to take the same thing and just move it around, like, you know, in a can. And so I'm excited about that, and have an installation piece that'll probably be part of that, and then in some group shows. And so it's a very vibrant time.
Yeah, the energy is good right now for a lot of people, you know, in spite of everything that's going on in the world.
It is. I mean, we have to channel everything that we're going through and experiencing. And not that I'm not one who's doing Ukrainian flags and sunflowers right now. Sometimes I feel a little guilty. I'm in my insular bubble, my happy art bubble, and feeling very lucky, you know, to be here and be able to do what I'm doing. But I am community driven. The projects that I'm doing are working in the schools, working in the community, a lot of community input going into the projects that I'm working on, including the arches, murals.
Tell me about the work you're doing in the schools right now.
Well, I just finished a 2-week residency through a grant. It was a grant Hudson Valley MOCA which was Museums in the Schools with Candace Winter. And she had done the middle school and for two, actually met every middle schooler. And then she brought me in to help with the high school. So we worked in the high school for 2 weeks, and then we just finished installing a mural using all of their work, and it's just beautiful. It's fantastic.
What's the title of that project?
Well, the mural is Wood to Fire, is about the five elements of nature, but it's the grant project is Museum in the Schools. That's through Hudson Valley Museum of Contemporary Art, and they work with the Pisco schools. They bring in poets and artists into the classroom and do very focused projects.
So with poetry, I imagine that's also performing art as well for the students.
Yeah, I'm not directly involved in that. This was in the art department, so we weren't in working with performance, but we have definitely Maura Mills is very involved with bringing poetry into the schools, and one of the mural project we'd like to work on would be including words. Candace and I, as we were like installing the visual piece, we're always thinking ahead. And so we started thinking, okay, what else can we do? Because there's so much potential. There's so many open walls. And the kids, they want to see, their ideas, their voices need to be expressed. And it takes people who understand how to present it. You just don't plunk it up to the walls willy-nilly. It needs to be done professionally and have it be lasting. And that's what we've tried to do.
It sounds like a good idea to be working with Mara.
Oh, she's wonderful. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, and words are important, spoken word, but pulling it together. But that wasn't this project, but it was very much about getting the kids to engage with these concepts and introduce the concepts of the five elements of nature and kind of reinforce that over this time, sneak up to someone working on a piece and say, oh, you're working on the metal element. Oh, and I see a little bit of fire in there.
I imagine it's a lot of fun for you and them.
It was, and they started to click, and they'd start to look up and go, ooh, and feel proud of their work.
And what's the age range you're working with?
Well, that was high school. Mm-hmm. So that was, from freshman to senior. Yeah. And probably fewer freshmen, but it was, the high school in that. But I'm not normally a teaching artist. I do my own things.
But you're definitely giving of yourself.
Oh, yeah. And I love teaching. I've done it before, but on a college level, which is very different.
It is, yeah.
And I've substituted, and you have to get these kids off their phones. But by the second week, we looked up and there were these three boys that were just did not want to engage. And they were all working on a piece. They were collaging. They were off their phones and they were doing it. And so that was a really great moment for both of us.
So you accomplished something very important.
I think so. Even that moment, that said something.
And they'll probably remember you.
I don't know. See.
You never know, I mean, I used to think they're never going to remember me. But, all of a sudden, 10 years later,
Well, they might remember that moment that they actually created something. Maybe even on a subconscious level. I don't take myself with that much weight. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, everybody's moment, it's my moment. But it was just exciting to see how they just started to get it. Yeah. And it wasn't a battle to create. And to realize that they're all part of something that's going up on the wall, and everything is going up. We're not saying, no, this one's not good enough. They were all great. And you put them together into a composition, and it was just, they flowed.
It's very much, it's very inclusive, it sounds like.
Yes. No, I think it's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important. And they did, it's amazing. There were two sisters that both had worked in separately, and they gravitated towards the same background papers because it was all very collaborative. People worked on each other's work, painting papers, stamping, and then someone else might grab that and then collage over it. So it was very free form into the second week. And these two sisters, their pieces ended up side by side because they flowed together visually. And the teacher, Heather Brown, walked up and said, showed to her student. She said, this is yours, and look down below. That's your sister's. And they were synchronistic.
Wow, that's interesting. They weren't twins, but I guess there's got to be something in the genetic code. I'm convinced.
So, you know, art and just visual, you know, that kind of intuitive experience is very unique.
It is. It is. You know, I want to talk about your art at the library. It's called
called Elemental Reflections.
Right there. Right.
Yes. So it's, again, it's, you know, very much of the influence for me is the elements, but I work with broken mirrors and broken glass, multimedia. So it's a lot of looking in, looking out.
And it's funny, you were able to capture certain shapes with the broken mirrors pieces. Now, what was it like working with all of those sharp edges? I mean, I saw the exhibit. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank
so what
you.
Was it like?
You know, I just decided I needed to break mirrors. I needed to break things during COVID instead of draw. And so I spread out tarps. I was actually on the grass in my prior backyard. Mm-hmm. And I was in sandals because I actually documented it. Uh-huh. And I just started stomping on it. I started walking on it first. Uh-huh. And sometimes having to press down because it's uneven in the grass. And there were times I did have to kind of jump or realize, oh, it's not breaking enough. I need to break it up more. And then I did buy a mallet. But I always have things between tarp, but I'm not to say that I didn't find some broken glass in the grass.
Ouch.
So I picked up and, you know, I've had a few cuts over time, but not bad. Mm-hmm. But there's a randomness that's so wonderful. And then it's using these pieces like a palette to put together into a composition.
I remember being kind of captivated by a particular piece, you know, I think a lot of it might have to do with the fact that there are mirrors and then you're looking at the piece and you're in there.
Right.
It's an odd kind of interactive. I really recommend people get to see this show for that. It's like I've never seen before.
Well, it was strange working in that way because I never liked to look in the mirror. I wasn't one who liked pictures of myself and or stared at the mirror all the time. And so to be working on this and then be seeing myself and not from the best angles, much less, was kind of strange. But then as I got used to it, I started then photographing myself. Mm-hmm. At times in pieces that I did. And then I realized that this piece is not only an interesting composition, but what it reflects and brings back could be like it was changing by the second, depending on the light where you moved it. And so then I started moving the canvases around and brought them outside and then took pictures, but not with me in it. It was not about me. It was about this canvas, this reflective canvas, bringing in this other environment into the piece as a reflection.
Yeah, no, I found it to be kind of like this, just, I didn't expect it. And I remember thinking to myself, I try not to say too much when I go to see an exhibit with someone that I know I'm going to interview. And I remember thinking to myself, this is a very odd kind of interactive. Mm-hmm. Because you're seeing something from like across the room and it catches your eye and you walk over there. And as you're walking over there, it's like it's kind of coming at you.
Well, and it's changing because it's seeing everything else.
Yes, exactly.
Around. Mm-hmm. And I did one of the pieces I did, which wasn't in the show, but it was at the Garrison Arts Center. It was called Nation and Family. And it was a group show. And it's hard, like, where do you place these pieces at a group show? And it's hard, even for me, it's like, okay, I was very thoughtful about where the mirrored pieces should go versus the collage. That was kind of obvious for me, but because of the room. But they, in Garrison, they placed it near a window. So it brought in the river and the willow, yet it reflected the sculpture right across. So it's four-dimensional. Art in a
way. Four-dimensional.
Because it has time and place.
Oh, yes. Oh, right.
And it's really like you shift, you move, the light changes. It's different.
Yeah, I'd love to see you bring that exhibit all over. I like that. But on the other side of the room, you have a whole different, it's very different. It's like it's very cohesive to visit this exhibit. You did a good job of curating yourself because it's very cohesive. the framing and everything. Mm-hmm. And you have some limited editions mm-hmm. in there. And I'm thinking in particular about the work you did in collage mm-hmm. that you photographed and then you framed them into these beautiful pieces where you can, even though I think the raw collage is good, but there's something about these pieces.
Well, what my original intent, and this is the collage series you're talking about, is that it's the five elements extended because it includes the transitions mm-hmm. between. So it starts with wood, then you go to wood to fire, then fire, fire to earth. So it keeps going around the cycle. So there's 10. And when I came up with the idea of doing the five, and then I started gathering collage materials, I had so much. And I was like, I love color. And I was like, oh, I can't just do that. I have to do the in-between. I have to do the transitions because the transitions are so long and important to move from one part of the cycle to another. You know, we're in the wood season, but that transition from water, winter, to wood takes a while. So there's a lot of interesting energy in there. So I made it a 10-part series and did it as collage, intending to then take those collages and make them multimedia after I've scanned and printed them. So what's displayed there, except for one piece, is the original collage, right. The earth to metal, I think, is the one that's paper. But I always intended to have them scanned so I can try to sell them individually or as a series, could be five, could be the 10, but to try to monetize it.
Well, of course.
You have to try to monetize
no,
our work.
No, don't try to monetize, just mean, monetize it.
Yes. So that was the idea because that way it's more affordable. People can buy a print, they can frame it how they want if that's the case.
But it's beautiful the way, you know, and the pieces, they're not like real big, but every single piece mm-hmm. has so much, they're very powerful, mm-hmm. striking stuff. Mm-hmm. You look at it and you're kind of a little bit stunned, you know, in some of the pieces. And you did put your heart and soul in this.
It was pretty compulsive.
Compulsive.
I actually did most of them in a very short period, a condensed period of time where I worked almost around the clock. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to bed, but I would wake up. I was at a friend's house sitting, mm-hmm. so I took over mm-hmm. the space. The cat competed a bit. It would sit on the work, and I would have to chase it outside because there would be right on top of the collage. I was able to really, like, just crank. I didn't have to do anything else. I was not with people. It was like this strange self-imposed residency while I was house sitting.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. It's interesting, I know, as from my own work, I do different things when you're in a space that's not your own. Mm-hmm. And the people that live there are not there.
And I had a whole room that I could lay out all 10 mm-hmm. on the floor with the pallets and then take a stack and move it to the dining room table. And I was in and out, and I would, you know, could turn on the big TV if I wanted to
for some
distraction
music,
and
right.
music, you know. But I was able to just kind of do my own thing and not have to answer to anybody. There was no social schedule to work around. It was very strangely insular, but it was fun, and it was incredibly productive.
Do you feel that working in that environment changed you? I'm wondering, did it change you at all in terms of how you approach your work?
Well, I've always been very disciplined about my work. I mean, even certainly going into industry and in design, I did project management. So, and I figured out how to make a documentary film and do that and meet deadlines. And so I can definitely work zen like late into the night editing. I'm one of those crazy people. That you just got to deal with, you know, and get used to, and just ignore, like, while I go into my corner and play.
So you're an artist. You're an artist.
I'm an artist.
Yeah. Nighttime's our time. It's our time most of the time at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even during the day, it's just like, let me do my thing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a beautiful thing. I really did enjoy, I mean, I went with you to see the exhibit. I don't always do that with people, but mm-hmm. something told me I got to go with Christine and see this. I want to hear what she has to say about her work.
Well, I appreciate that. It was special.
You really, when I looked at your pieces, especially your collage pieces, mm-hmm. I felt as if you turned yourself inside out and you're revealing the inside, you know, in a very bold, but yet very clear way.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much of a study, but it's at the same time of being totally intuitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I've been studying Qigong over the years with Darby Melnick, and she's just...
That's where we met.
And that's whose house I did the residency. I call it a residency, but I was house sitting mm-hmm. and cat sitting. And but I've learned so much in the ideas that I've heard and that I've read and researched. And, you know, I didn't want a checklist, and I wasn't trying to make it about the animals or the organs of the body or get into it on all of those other levels, mm-hmm. sounds. But I certainly was trying to, like, be very thoughtful mm-hmm. and responsible about what the meanings were, what the significance of the elements are, and try to make it relatable in you know, in that way.
You achieved that, because I could relate to it. And I think mm-hmm. most people can relate to something in that show. Mm-hmm. And you made it very easy to see.
Well, there's this funny thing that just happened, and wasn't like I went in intending it, that there is this kind of AI element there that I started realizing that there was a little robot for the spring season, which is the wood and birth and youth and beginning. And then I was like, I started like realizing that there was this thread that went through a lot of the pieces, which is very much about our times. And so things just kind of creep in there that you don't always, you know, think about.
Would you say that the Croton exhibit was something that was done all within the same basic period of time, or is it over
2 years? Well, no, I created everything over 2 years.
2 years. Okay, that's, yeah. And that, yeah. And then you were saying that you just started doing fine art about 2 years ago. 2 years.
So yeah. This was actually, I mean, the mirrored pieces that were behind the piano and the ones with me still unbroken. Yeah, those were all like coming right out of COVID. That was like basically like, okay, I've been shut in. I've been sewing fabric face masks nonstop, 800 of them I cranked out, and I was so done.
So this was something you were just doing?
I was doing it as a volunteer. We supplied masks from Mount Sinai to every like fire department, the essential workers post office, Navajo Nation. I mean, you wouldn't believe and through the Croton fabric mask makers. And so I was part of this huge supply network of cranking these things out while my reflexology work was shut down. You know, I was just kind of, life was on hold like we all were, but trying to be, you know, useful. It's like wartime mentality. I can sew. I have a machine. Yeah. So I was cranking, and then I started getting angry.
Oh, really? Tell me about that.
I was, because I worked in industry and I knew there's factories that can do this. Like, why am I doing this? Why is this army of volunteer sewers when our country should have it together? Industry should be doing this. And sure enough, now they are. You know, face masks is now like not a big shortage, but at the time we were supplying every major hospital, every nursing home, VA, you wouldn't believe it. It was desperate, and it just started to feel overwhelming and like, this is never going to end. And so I realized I need to stop. My energy is going to a negative place. I don't want this going into these masks. I need to stop. And actually, there was a Garrison Arts Center piece that I did where I did a face mask with all the, like, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 counting graphic, and that was like the last one I did. And then I just decided I needed to start doing multimedia and being visceral, being physical with my work, you know, not just sitting there carefully drawing.
So you were kind of going with the flow of what was going on.
I guess. I mean, I guess I just had to listen to some inner voice. I don't know.
You'll be blessed for that, all that work you did. I believe you will be.
Well, I felt so much gratitude and met amazing people, and it wasn't like me doing it by myself. I was just one contributor, and so it was a very rich period for me.
Well, you took one of your skills, and a lot, I mean, I don't really sew, but I've noticed a lot of people were sewing. Mm-hmm. If you could do it and you had a machine, you know, that's a good thing. If I could sew, I probably would have done the same thing.
Well, you know, you're contributing in other ways. And I think everybody has to kind of roll with things and kind of evolve through what we're facing.
Yeah, I think we're all changed, you know. Mm-hmm. We really are. I believe that. And so now that you're, you know, really like settling down, it sounds like, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I mean, now I'm ready to get back into my reflexology. Mm-hmm. It is a small part, a very important part of my life. Mm-hmm. And so I do have some regular clients. And now that I'm finally moved and set up where I'm living in the loft, I'm ready to, you know, have some clients there. I work at a Cold Spring in a beautiful salt room. And I have the Five Arches Mural Project, which is a huge New York State funded downtown revitalization initiative arts project. That is Candace, my art partner in this, and I are going to be creating the five panels, and the highest arch is 21 feet high. And then it steps down because it's a highway overpass 9A. So it goes from, I think, around 14 feet to 21, and they're each around 14 feet wide. So that's going to be straight up from the train station, and that's a major project in my life right now.
Well, then I know where the spot you're talking, if it's what I think, we really need something like that in that spot.
It's straight up from the Peekskill train station. Right. You see it from the south end, mm-hmm. and right now it's an eyesore.
Yeah.
And it's within the mapped area for the DRI, mm-hmm. and so it was built to be art. The New York State DOT designed the highway with those arches to be future art. So Peter Bynum's are long in and established. Mm-hmm. The five arches are going to be in sometime this summer. And there's another section along Hudson that I hope someone else takes on.
Very exciting. We
need to have that. We need to have a lot of this like very visible way that people come into Peekskill, they see this, they want it, they see it from a distance, but they also see, I want to get closer because there's a lot here mm-hmm. to take in. And it's the same with the collages. I don't want to make it crazy busy. Mm-hmm. And Candace and I talk about that it has to be read from a distance. But then it also, people are driving by from different directions, walking. And so it's a very interesting graphic challenge.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, and I just want to love it when it goes up.
I can hardly wait to see it. I
visualize when I go by there and it's empty right now, it's just concrete. I'm just trying to see it. Like, we're both are at the point where we're playing with ideas, and a lot of things that came out of the school residency and these beautiful papers that these kids created with these textures that I took close-ups. And this is everything we're doing, and we're going to be doing more workshops in community with paper cutting, and we did paper painting. We have seniors, children, and
seniors.
We have some seniors in there doing painting papers that are, you know, part of the collage.
Well, I'm excited now. So, I have to tell you, I'm very excited.
Well, you have to come and do.
Hey, I'm a teacher.
Workshops.
I mean, I'm a teacher, feeling guilty that I'm not teaching, but I'm ready to do it. I'm always ready to teach.
Yeah.
A lifelong learner, and a lifelong learner is a teacher, and a teacher is a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. Same thing. But thank you so much for coming on. You'll have to come back and a follow-up on the project with the arches. I want to hear more about that.
That would be great.
For sure. And more about your reflexology mm-hmm. now that people are starting to touch each other again.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll come back because I know my audience is going to love this interview. I have a feeling.
Well, thank you.
You know, and thanks so much, Christine.
Thank you.
You're like a breath of fresh air. You know, we met on a in the Qigong class with Darby.
That's right.
That's when I first met you. And I'm like, wow.
I forgot about that, and you told me that's doing Qigong just brought so much strength to me and centering, and I'm trying to carry that forward. And you know, I wasn't teaching Qigong to the kids or trying to push like ancient Chinese.
You know? But you sort of
it was about nature and about seasons of life.
And you exude the energy of goodness in through your art and just in the way you are. It's like I wouldn't have to guess that you were an artist. There's just you have this swagger.
Well, I always try to be a little different.
That's the way to be. Yes. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But thanks again. I'm going to have to say goodbye to the audience. And thank you so much for coming to visit. I enjoy doing this show so much. I enjoy talking to great people. And I really appreciate you coming to watch. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.